Chapter 9. Spoiler. A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. In this chapter, we're going to compare this novel with the original Beauty and the Beast fairy tale and how the author managed to make her story full of twists and turns, as well as going through our favorite moments and analyzing the characters and the plot. Hanin, who has already read the series, a couple times if I may add, will also ask me a series of questions of what I thought of certain moments of the book and how significant they were to the plot. Are you ready, Arcatar fans? My name is Nesma. Turn the page. Welcome to another chapter of Between the Pages. My name is Nesma.
And my name is Hanin.
So, for those of you who've listened to the non-spoiler episode, you'd find us, like, or find me, Hanin, comparing, Akutar a lot with Beauty and the Beast. So I guess I made a list of who's who according to the original or the Disney Beauty yeah. and the Beast and Akutar in characters and some similar events. I mean, like, sometimes I found, so that's the one, you know?
From the story.
Yeah. Okay, so of course that Feyre is Beauty, Tamlin is the Beast. Though in this story, he's not beastly. Like, yes, he turns into a beast, but he's beautiful in a way. Like, his beauty is out there. That's an aspect of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I mean, he's just wearing a mask. Yeah, he's still
but
himself.
He's still so beautiful. So yeah. That wasn't... I mean, the part of, like, loving what's within and not the...
The outer side, yeah.
Yes.
No, that wasn't there. The element was taken away, Shoya.
Or it was, as in... Amarantha wanted the girl to love the man behind the mask, I guess. Yeah.
Right. The concept is there, but it's... I mean, she can still see his sort of his features and uh-huh. his body and his...
Yeah.
You know, like, and everything. It's not hidden away, but... If he were a beast, he would be a beast, you know, mm-hmm. like, I mean, he changes into a beast.
Claws and canines and everything.
And everything, yeah.
Like, he can go between fairy and beast, which is not really human yeah. as well, you know? Like,
exactly.
He's different from her.
He's different, yeah.
It's still there, I guess.
All right, fine, it's there.
Yeah. The curse versus the treaty, or I guess the yeah. curse. I mean,
treaty
he wanted to
curse.
Talk about the curse as a no, it's... reversed in a way. So the curse in Beauty and the Beast was when the prince didn't want to be kind to an old woman.
I think. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So she turns out to be a sorceress and she cursed him.
But in this novel, it's the roles are completely reversed. So Tamlin is not being punished for a stray morals per se. He's being punished for holding on to them. So I kind of like the effect of he's actually a good person to begin with. Mm-hmm. He's just suffering the consequences of wanting to still be a good person throughout his life. Like, he doesn't let go of his morals just like that. Like, just because Amarantha wants him as his, I don't know, her lover. Her lover or whatever.
And that was like, this perspective is interesting, actually.
Yeah, it is.
She did a good twist with it.
I really love that. It's a nice twist.
And I actually didn't think about that. That was very clever of you.
Thank you.
Okay, so back to characters. So Alice, I think, is the teapot. The one that is kind to well remember her.
Yeah, yes. She was the one who kept dressing her up and...
talking her through things, I think, and like...
Being the person to calm her down
and
always having that one piece of advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had the boy, teacup, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Chip.
Chip, yes.
Chip.
And Alice has the boys, she called them, her nephews.
She has her son, it's
so,
her
yeah,
nephews,
there's
yeah.
this aspect.
Yeah.
Lumiere, I think, is Lucien. In our situation.
Yeah, yes.
Who else? So...
We have Amarantha. Who do you think is Amarantha?
Maybe the ladies who wanted Gaston.
Ah! One of them?
Yeah. But I don't think she's related. She's the sorceress.
The one who keep going, oh my god.
Yeah. No, but she's the sorceress. I mean, she's the one who cursed him.
Yeah, she reversed the roles again. The sorceress was actually the wise woman in the fairy tale. And here she's the villain.
The villain. Yes, exactly. And Rhysand maybe could be Gaston, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. No, he's not. I mean, no, he is. Like, Gaston was arrogant and proud. And, like, and in Akutar, Rhysand is portrayed as that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, some of the events, or not the events, like, I mean, the revealing of the paintings, the book thing in Akutar, it's paintings.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when he revealed the gallery.
Yes, the gallery. Plus, they in both stories, they were cleaned up. I mean, the library, remember? Right. Yes, she had to wait for them to clean it up. And
so she could see it.
Yes. And yeah. Then Beauty and the Beast, it was the same case. And both beasts were... like, they didn't know much about books or paintings, and, like...
Yeah, he has all these books and all this space, and he doesn't have no knowledge of whatever it is they talk about or they show.
Exactly. And, I mean, in the classic, when he saved her from the wolves and got injured, I guess it was the same thing with the boogie...
Bogey?
The bogey, yes.
Yeah.
What happened with them? I suddenly don't remember.
The bogey. I think she went to the bogey. Whoever could capture a bogey.
No, that was the serial. The surreal.
Surreal?
Yes. The bogey, the injured Tamlin, I think. Wow, this absolutely
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't, for someone who's read the series three times, you're suddenly very blank. I've only read it once. But I think I know,
like there was the same incident where, like, he concept. Saves her and she sees him in a different light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was this, and then there was letting her go because he loves her. And
yeah.
Yeah. And then there was the state of his house when she went back. The damage that was done to the house.
The rally when they all ganged up together and, like, killed the beast.
Yes, and destroyed the castle. It was the same. Yeah. They destroyed the estate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amarantha's cronies, wow, or whatever. So, yeah, there is this... You see, it's there. But...
There are a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I want to refer to at the beginning. It just came into my mind. Mm-hmm. We have her in the traditional story. We have her looking for her father. And this her father led her to the beast.
Yes.
So she switched her position with her father so he can be let go. Mm-hmm. But in this story, it's kind of different. He is led to her because of a sort of an event happened, her killing the wolf.
Yes.
So he takes her. So it's not like something that leads her to him. It's something that leads him to her.
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite.
I love this. And I want to refer to something as well. Not to the Disney movie, actually to the original Beauty and the Beast story.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually six siblings, three boys and three girls.
The original story?
Yes, and I read that on Wikipedia, which cannot be trusted, but anyway, I wanted to remember, because the original story was read to me as a child. I the Disney movie is just, like, in there. I can't remember the original story. But, I mean, in the Disney movie, she was one child. In Akutar, she had two sisters. But it was similar to the original story, as in the two sisters didn't adjust to the life in the village and the poor life easily, as did Beauty. And I guess, like, that's a similarity there from the original story. However, I don't think the father was like an Akutar. I think, like, what led him to the beast is that they said that the ships that sunk were found again, so he went to find them. When he went, it was taken to his depths, like, he didn't have anything left.
Yeah.
So, going back, he found the castle, He went in, had a dinner, and then slept, and then decided this could be his castle. And on his way out, he found a rose garden, because Belle asked him for a rose. Yeah. Her two sisters asked him for, like, riches and stuff. He couldn't get them, but he found the rose garden, so he went in to get a rose. And then the beast showed up. Like, he came next
to his knee. That was in the movie with Emma Watson. He wanted to take a rose from the tree.
I forgot that part, yes.
He wanted to take a rose from the tree, and, like, he was fine. He could have left.
Yes.
He was all the way inside the castle. He ate a meal. He got warm by the fire, and then he went back to his horse. And then he saw the white roses in the garden, so he wanted to take one. That's when the beast showed up. That was in the movie.
Wow.
You forgot that part,
I forgot that part. Anyway.
It kind of reminds me of Cinderella, when she asked for something when he came back.
The first leaf, your shoulder.
The first leaf you torture.
The first leaf your shoulder touches on your journey.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so I guess I'm referring to Beauty and the Beast because that was my mentality while reading the book for the first time.
I have one question, one very shameful question, which we probably don't have the answer to. But who's the original author of Beauty and the Beast? Is it the Grimm brothers?
No. I checked.
Common misconception.
No, it's not the Grimm brothers. It's a female French author.
It does. It is French. It has to be French because of all the extravaganza.
It's La Beauté et la Bête.
Ooh. Wow.
Le Bête.
Le Bête. I'm proud to be to have you as my friend. You have very weird knowledge.
Yeah.
But when you watch the movie, you can see, like, French inspiration from, like, the aesthetic of the castle. Mm-hmm. You can see that it has very French
aesthetic. And the Paris, aesthetic. And they were in the city, Paris.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
The village is, I mean, Gaston, and the names, Belle. Yeah.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Why didn't I get there on my own? Never mind. All right, let's talk about the plot line.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one thing that I found really interesting. So at the beginning, we have Farah as a character who's very much as represented as the damsel in distress. I mean, we know she can take care of herself. We know she can hunt and take care of her family and everything. But once she's taken from her, like, her human life and into the area of Prithian, that's when, like, she's really put into danger. And we hear Tamlin and Lucien keep saying that she's in danger. She shouldn't go outside in the dark or whatever. So we can see her as, like, a damsel in distress, sort of.
Yes.
Like, they keep protecting her, keep wanting to get her out of, like, dangerous situations. But later on in the novel, the roles, like, by the end, when she goes under the mountain, we see that the roles are completely reversed.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
She is the one who has to prove her love, not just verbally or emotionally, like, in the traditional sense of the story, but really physically go through, like, physical torture to actually prove to someone that she loves them. And that's, like, takes you far away from the concept of the traditional story Beauty and the Beast, because it makes you think about the concept of why should only Tamlin suffer for his love.
Yes, yeah.
Why shouldn't also the beauty, so to say, from the title, suffer as well for the consequences? So it's a sort of, like, equality between male and female figures of the traditional story.
In a brutal way, may I say.
Very brutal way. Very brutal. I mean, can we talk about the poor woman, what she had to go through?
Oh my God.
Like, literally, she's such a strong person, and to have that courage of actually, like, there's some people who would, like, literally not done any of that, you know?
Yes, they would, like, have at some point asked themselves, is it worth it? What?
Yes.
I myself would have had the fear of, what if after all of this, I realize that I don't love him anymore.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I have this because when you mentioned the love triangle in the non-spoiler episode, it scares me actually, like any sort of, you know, I'm always scared of like, what if I love someone and not really love him, you know?
What if you think it's love, but it's not actually love? What yes. if you're like fooled by your yeah, own feelings?
And the idea of first love and everlasting love that we keep always referring to.
Yeah.
It scares me. I just want one love, you know?
I mean, it's called first love for a reason. But then again, who is to say that there has to be more than one love? I mean, your first love can be your first and your last.
Yeah, and I don't know. It scares me. It's something scary. I don't want to go through all of that.
Like, there was this one line when she met Resent.
Mm-hmm.
You even referred back to it. When I reached the chapter, you asked me, didn't you come across that one line that just, like, told you everything what's gonna happen? I was like, yeah, wasn't it that one line that said he's the most beautiful man she's ever seen? And I'm like, ding 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 ding, love triangle, woohoo.
I can't talk that much about it, but like, yeah, I wanted to express how this scares me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, back to how Farah is actually very strong and courageous. And
yeah.
Her hard life was like prepared her for this, actually. I couldn't blame her for falling like or kicking back at Tamlin's estate and finally feeling secure and doing what she loves. But I don't know, at some point in the book, I don't know when I was first reading it or when I was reading it for the third time, but I asked myself, what then? I don't know, is she going to spend her life just painting and that's just it, you know?
I mean, now that she, by the end of the novel, she turned fairy, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. You know? Anyway, I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, why do you think Farah fell in love with Tamlin? Not knowing what's going to happen later, but yeah. Like, I know why, but I mean, you.
You asking me?
Yes.
Of why I think she fell in love with Tamlin?
Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's the beast and she's beast.
I mean, look, I think the mystery of, like, first of all, if you meet a, like, put it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you meet a sort of handsome guy, and this handsome guy is wearing a mask, and you can't take this mask off, the intense thought of wanting to see his face is going to drive you insane. And when from what Farah has described in the novel, when she saw his face, the reaction was entirely like, oh my god, this girl is totally in love with him. Like, literally, regardless of his personality, she's like, in love with his features. If I go deeper
into the core alone, of why I think,
like,
she
I don't know, with him, I think it's the fact that she had to live as the sole provider for her family. She's the one who had to take care of everything. No one even thought of taking care of her. She had to protect herself constantly. She hated going to hunting. She even said, like, in part of the novel, that the one day where she killed the rabbit, a piece of her soul went with it.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my god, she feels so, like, she's such a vulnerable person, but she's able to go through such harsh things because she's strong, you know? Mm-hmm. So when she meets a person like Tamlin, who constantly aches to protect her, to take care of her, to keep her safe, to keep her all these things that she hasn't received all those years. So when you finally meet that one person who gives you everything that you've ever wanted, there's no other chance than to fall in love with that person. Like, literally, it's like, oh my god, you're giving me finally what I need. I love you. You know, it's like part of the reason, of course, that and his good looks and his like his compassion towards her, and it's that those layers that were broken throughout the story. Like, mm-hmm. she met him as a very arrogant person who kept trying to make nice comments towards her, but it didn't work.
Don't remind me.
You know, like, is he trying to be nice? I don't know. Well, it's not working. So I think, I don't know. I think that's, like, mainly that she found in him what she needed from a person. The love, the kind of love that you can't get from your sisters or from your father. Mm-hmm. Because her father is, like, very self-involved. Like, he's only paying attention to himself. And her sisters, you have, what's her name?
Nesta.
What did I say,
Nazira? And Elaine.
Nazira
from
Chaturmi. From Chaturmi. Nesta, who only takes care of the other sister. So who takes care of Farah?
Mm-hmm.
No one. So when she met Tamlin, you know, it's just...
Yes.
It kind of got together. Like, the missing missing puzzle piece, they got attached, you know, I guess.
You did it.
I did it.
Yay. I mean...
Did I pass the test?
Yes, you passed the test. It's not a test. I mean, you hit the nail on... What's the...
You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your feelings about Rhysand so far?
Well, my feelings about Rhysand, I can't tell who I like more, Tamlin or Rhysand.
don't compare them, just Rhysand as Rhysand.
Rhysand as Rhysand? He's very unpredictable, I have to say. He's more unpredictable than Tamlin, because mm-hmm. I just don't know what's coming next. With Tamlin, I kind of know. He's more vanilla. You know, he's more vanilla. Rhysand is more like... in your danger zone, you know, mm-hmm. like the one person you shouldn't be with, but you want to be with.
Isn't it giving you a Damien vibe?
Yes! You mean the Damon vibe?
Yeah. Damon vibe, yeah.
Damon from The Vampire Diaries. That's why I love love triangles. Like, since Damon and Stefan, that's like why I love love triangles. They're the reason. I'm obsessed with them because it's just so, I don't know, so entertaining. That's what I say. Like, maybe the result won't be satisfying or whatever comes out of it. I mean, it's more of a preference mm-hmm. who you like more, okay? Yeah. The author's weapon is to make you like one more than the other,
yes,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So you'll end up liking whatever comes out, you know?
Yes, but that's...
That's the power of writing. Exactly. Like, whatever comes out of it.
You end up loving the second person.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a kind of image where it's like Shatter Me as well. Like, mm-hmm. you have
Adam and Aaron.
Aaron, yes, yes. But we don't want to... Those who haven't read Shatter Me or anyone, we don't want to spoil, but there's, like, Love Triangle as well. So, it's like this idea of... We preferred one first, and then we prefer the other, but then we prefer the other one again, and then we're back here again. So it's like this seesaw mm-hmm. effect, you know, like you don't know who to like, but you only like that person, which the author tells you to like. So I think I'm not afraid of the result. I'm just excited for the journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just excited of what's going to happen. What yeah. is Farah going to think of Rhysand or Tamlin or... The confusion of who do I love and who do I not love? Do I love both? Do I not love both?
I have no idea. The stage is going to be in. Okay.
Hey, watch okay. it, lady. Watch it.
I am watching it.
Do you have any other questions?
When Rhysand said...
yeah. I love your questions. Tell me more.
He said... Yes, when she asked him, why did you fight back? And he said, when the histories are written, I want my
yes.
future offspring to know that I had at least fought back.
Yes.
And yes. What does that tell you?
What does that tell me?
Or like, what when you read that line, how? What did you think? Or my cheeks are aching from smiling.
My face is turning red. That's how excited I am. Okay, so back to the line. I think what it told me is that he's trying to be the good guy when he's usually not the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually the one who stays behind the scenes, who just watches things go as they are. And then he's with Farah, he was maybe inspired to be good.
Mm.
So okay. It kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a Damon situation again, because Elena was the one who inspired him against his own nature. He was more of a kind of, like, dark person who didn't care about anyone, who only cared about himself, and... But when he said future offspring, that's weird. Like, that's weird.
I don't remember if he exactly said that.
Like, but, mate, are you thinking that far into the future, or does he already have an offspring?
No, don't answer that. No, I can tell you he hasn't. It's not related, but...
Okay.
But actually, thinking about his future son or daughter, it tells you something about him.
Like, yes. He's ready to commit, you know? He's he's willing to commit, you know?
I don't know. I'll not comment because he didn't, like... Anyway, I'll comment next episode when you know. That reminds you of what
you
said.
This is so frustrating. This is so frustrating.
That reminds you of what you said.
I mean, we have it on tape, so...
Yeah. Okay. Last appearance to... I don't know why I'm focusing on Raisand. Anyway. Anyway.
okay. He's your favorite?
Yes.
You can say that. That's fine.
By the way, without Gany as the first... When I first read the book, he still was my favorite. Yeah. Like, it wasn't because of something later.
Yeah.
Anyway. Like, his last appearance. He did something before he disappeared.
He looked at her. He stepped back.
Stumbled.
Okay. He stumbled. Mm-hmm. And then he just kept walking. I don't know why he did that.
He didn't keep walking. He just vanished.
Yeah, he vanished. Yeah. Why did he do that? I don't know why.
You'll know.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sure. I can tell you're dying inside.
I am.
Oh my god, I can't wait to know what's gonna happen, actually.
Okay.
What else?
Don't say that. Don't make me tell you what's gonna happen.
I didn't ask you to tell me. I just said I want to know.
Well, that's a trigger.
It's a trigger on its own. There are two things that I still wanted to refer to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the idea at the very, very beginning, when I said in the previous episode, in the non-spoiler one, that it took me a while to get attached to the characters, this is related to this point, is that at the very beginning, we know the treaty, like, later on, we know the treaty and what it means and the details of the treaty and everything, but at the very beginning, it kind of was thrown out of context, you know, like when Farrah killed the wolf and then Tamlin showed up. Was it Tamlin who showed up or Lucien?
It was Tamlin himself,
right?
Tamlin.
And then fun fact, actually, I thought it was going to be Lucien who she's going to fall in love with, not Tamlin.
Ha ha!
I don't know why. Never mind. Because I didn't think that Tamlin would do his own dirty work, you know? I thought maybe it was, like, Lucien who was, like, the head of the whole thing, and he just sent someone to grab her or something. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. Next, like, let's get back to the point. Is that, for me, it didn't make sense of why she was captured. Why wasn't she killed? Because I don't know anything about the treaty at the beginning. And for me, it was very weird of why, like, why capture her? I just didn't understand it. Like, if I have a friend who was killed and I have this person right in front of me who killed that said friend, I would murder that person. Like, literally, like, I don't know. It's just, why would I grab this person and get them into my home and take care of them? That's weird. And Tamlin seemed awfully cool about, like, her having killed his friend. So, but later on, we understand that all this was for a reason, that she killed the wolf. So, because he has to find a human girl who hates his kind but can still fall in love with him, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So he has to make a human woman fall in love with him who actually hates fairies. So that's like the whole idea. But at the very beginning, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't know how people will react to that. Like, I personally found it very weird. That's probably why it took me a while to get attached to the characters, because I was confused. I didn't know what to think, you know? Yes. So that's like another point that was really, it bothered me. I know probably no one else will stumble upon this idea, but I just had to put it out there.
Yeah.
Maybe someone does feel the same. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say? Like any other questions?
Not questions, actually. Let's talk about Prithian.
Ooh, yes.
The courts, the lords, the system, the holidays. Mm-hmm. I love them. I don't know. I love this environment.
Still feel like we're still at the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, of course. Of course.
We're still very at the tip of iceberg, because we still hear them talking about the places, but we haven't actually gone to them yet. You know, like,
yes,
they keep talking about winter court and night court and day court and everything. But we haven't actually set foot in those courts yet.
Mm-hmm. And their holidays. What did you experience? I don't remember. There was the summer solstice, I think.
Yes.
Yes, summer solstice.
Calanmay. Calanmay. I really liked Calanmay. Tamlin is going to kill you if he finds you here. I just loved how they were so protective
and, like, and
over
he was
her.
Like, don't disobey me again. She's like, don't order me around or something. Or don't tell me what to do. I love that dynamic, you know?
Yeah. Oh my god. But this story is something. Like, really, I loved it. I really have fallen in love with it. Yes. And oh my god, yes, I have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. The day... the very last day I finished the book, I was like on the bus finishing the last chapter,
mm-hmm.
the last two chapters. I only had two chapters left. So I actually told you this story, didn't I?
I think, yes. Huh?
Yeah, go so on. When I finished the first chapter of the two that I still had left, I was halfway through the very last one at all, 46, I think, chapter 46. And I only had a couple pages left. And then all of a sudden, my bus stop is right there. And I had to get off. And I was like, no, I want to finish this. So I got off. I entered the gate. And then I immediately sat down at the first building that was right in front of me. And people were coming, passing by. And I was just sitting there. I didn't care. I just had to finish these first couple pages before
God.
I go
I
home.
I feel you. Like, sometimes, my bus drops me right under
your
my
home?
Building, yes. My school bus when I was in school.
Mine doesn't. I still have to walk a bit.
Yeah. No, of course, in uni, that's, like, far gone.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
In school, I wouldn't go up until I finish the chapter that I'm on or, like, the book if I'm at the end, you know? No, I'm not coming up. My mom is like, your lunch is ready. Wait. I'm not going up yet.
Yeah, that was like really once you start, you even told me, warned me, once I started, I'm not going to be able to put it down. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened.
And it's going to be harder with the Court of Mist and Fury.
I can't wait to start reading it today because I wasn't allowed to read it until we record this episode.
Yes, so you're not in my position.
Exactly, so I don't know too much.
Yeah.
That was the idea. But I can't wait.
Thank me later.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things now that I want to address or comment on, but I can't without comparing it to later events. So
yeah.
I guess I'll do that later. I hope I remember, though.
You have to write it down.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to follow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to read the second part with me or are you just going to go with
yes, of course.
With your memory.
No, yes, of course.
No, you are going to read it.
I read it again.
Okay.
By the way, like, starting from the second part, I did this thing where I, like, printed a lot of bookmarks, like, from quotes of the book and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, whenever there is a good moment that I like, I would add a bookmark. So, like, I have lots of bookmarks there for all the moments that I love.
But I should
think,
do that.
Yeah, I think I will read the whole thing, not just the moments. I'm not sure.
I mean, the book is very large. It's the largest of the whole series.
Yes, and it's the best.
I can't wait. Oh my God, stop.
In there, you will, I don't know.
I can't speak.
Let's just end this chapter so we can move on. Yes.
Cut. Yeah, I mean, I think we've said everything, didn't we?
Yeah, and if you guys want to talk about anything, we're with you in the comments, I think.
I mean, it depends on what you're listening this from. I mean, I don't think
they can do that on...
or Spotify has comments.
Really? They don't?
No.
But SoundCloud does.
SoundCloud has.
And
or follow us on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to...
And Instagram.
We're doing
an Instagram page.
Yeah, well, you can comment on our Facebook page and our Instagram page, hopefully, in the future.
And YouTube, if you're listening from YouTube, which I don't recommend, actually.
Why?
Because it's not an audio app, you know, where you can just switch off your screen and keep listening, you know? I don't know.
Some people prefer YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're... like opening YouTube on your computer, then you can have several tabs open and you can still listen to it while you're working. So
yeah,
it's basically the same thing.
Anyway, see you next chapter. Court of Mist and Fury. Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. I bet you found it funny me not being able to say anything. But alas, it's better that you weren't in my situation. However, if you have read the series, I think you have enjoyed being in the know, guessing what I was trying to hint at. In the months to come, we're picking up two series interchangeably. A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas and Chatter Me by Tahereh Mafi. So, coming next is Restore Me. My name is Haneen. Mark the page for chapter 10.